Good morning, everyone. We gather today on the seventh Sunday of Pentecost as we continue to go through that portion of the church year where the Holy Spirit continues to work not only to keep us strong in our faith in Jesus, but then working in us to sanctify us or make that faith that we have in Jesus start to show out more and more in our life. And that's what the theme for our worship is today as we celebrate that ongoing work of the Spirit that gives us hope in the midst of all of this sanctifying work. And so knowing that we've got God's good blessings awaiting us, let's stand as we join in our first hymn, Oh That I Had a Thousand Voices. Oh, and I also wanted to say we welcome again Renee Williams as our musician today. Renee, we're glad to have you back.
Thank you.
the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Given the heat today, how about we sit down? Standing or sitting, no, it doesn't really matter. We come before our Lord again, humbly confessing that sin that we've again committed this week, even when we try not to, and that's living in our baptism, recognizing that without Christ we're lost, so that faith that was stirred in us at our baptisms that we continue to lean and rely on or remain in, that's what we're practicing now, as we talked about in Bible class this morning. So let's join in our confession. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Well, with those promises of God given us, we now join together in confession. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your boundless mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Confessing our sins before the Lord and trusting in all that Jesus has done for us as the Savior, we hear those words reassuring us that for the sake of what Christ did, the Heavenly Father forgives us of our sins, gives us that promise that he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And so we pray, Lord, grant this to us all and keep us in that faith to our dying day. Amen. With our sins forgiven us in Christ, we have reason to truly thank and praise our Lord. So let's join in our next song, Salvation Belongs to Our God.
And
give thanks to our Lord and Savior Jesus for saving and deliver us from that punishment of sin that we deserve. But that's not all that Jesus does. Because as he saves us, delivers us, and brings us into his kingdom as our living Lord, he's also the one that's constantly at work now in our lives to help us live out that faith and remain in that faith. And we see that happening here in this Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 66, as Jesus talks about being like a mother that cares and tends for her child that's already born, but is doing what's needed to keep that child alive, and not only keep them alive, but help them grow. And so Jesus, through Isaiah, says to his people, "Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice greatly with her, all you who mourn over her. For you will nurse and be satisfied at her comforting breasts. You will drink deeply and delight in her overflowing abundance. For this is what the Lord says, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of the nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart will rejoice, and you will flourish like the grass. The hand of the Lord will be made known to his servants, but his fury will be shown to his foes." This is the word of our Lord. Well, as God was working in the lives of his Old Testament people to hold on to them and care for them, that's what he does for us as we trust in Christ and live under him as our Savior. Paul talks about that ongoing care of God and the work that he's seeking to do for us and in us here in Galatians chapter 6. It says, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand? Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law. Yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. In peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God." This is the word of our Lord. Let's respond to this word of God that we've heard as we speak together now some words from Psalm 19. Let's say them together. "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth. their words to the ends of the world. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Well, in that hope of what God's word does for us, we now turn to the gospel. This is the gospel according to Luke chapter 10. We say, glory be to thee, O Lord. Now here we see Jesus sending out his disciples to share that message about Jesus as the Savior. And the message they had to speak was, the kingdom of God is near you. Meaning not only was it close that people through faith in Jesus could enter it, but when you talk about the kingdom of God being near you, it literally was, because there was Jesus standing right in their midst, the key and entrance to the kingdom of God. Well, we're told after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. And if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Well, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Here ends the gospel. Praise to thee, O Christ. Shall we stand now as we join together in confessing our faith, using those words that so many Christians that have gone on before us have also used as we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And we remain standing for our next song. Thank you. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may be seated. You know, with every car that you buy, there's an owner's manual that's provided. That owner's manual, when you first buy the car, is usually located there in the glove box. And that owner's manual, of course, teaches you how to run the car and operate all of its accessories. But you know, there's one other thing that an owner manual does. An owner manual also gives you the important maintenance items that need to be taken care of so that your car can keep running well throughout all the years that you own it. Now, I mention that because as we turn to God's Word today and look at some passages from Galatians chapter 6, you might say that here in these words, the Holy Spirit is giving us a spiritual maintenance manual or list, so to speak, to think about. I call it a maintenance list because now that Jesus has laid his life down on the cross to save ours and risen from the dead so that through faith in him we can have new life, the Holy Spirit now is seeking to teach us, well, what kind of things should be happening or what kind of things should we be practicing so that our new life in Christ keeps running well and doesn't start to fall apart for lack of spiritual maintenance. So let's turn to Galatians chapter 6. We're going to do kind of a quick rundown, first of all, of the list and see what the Holy Spirit has to say. It begins with Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, and it says, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted." So you see someone that's doing something wrong or believing something that goes contrary to God's word, we're not supposed to keep our mouth shut about it. Because how does that help a person if we keep our mouth shut? It actually doesn't help them at all, does it? Keeping silent actually helps a person continue in their sin and gives the impression that there's nothing wrong with it and that there's no consequence for it. No, instead of keeping silent, the Holy Spirit wants us to warn one another about sin. That's part of the spiritual care that we give to one another as we live together in this fellowship of faith in Christ. We speak out to one another, not in a judgmental way, as if somehow we're better than those people that we're talking to, because we're not. We're all sinners. But we speak out to them about sin in a caring and loving way, seeking to warn them as, you might say, one sinner talking to another. We try to steer them away from sin because we know where all sin leads. All sin, even the ones we think are the small ones, they all lead us down the path headed towards eternal destruction in hell. That is not the destination that Jesus wants or has in mind for us as the Savior. Jesus gave up his life on the cross to save us from such a destination. And hopefully, that same attitude lies within our hearts as well. We don't want to see anyone end up under God's eternal judgment either. And so we warn one another, we care for one another when we see one another falling into sin. Next, the Holy Spirit says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, he says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." So do you see someone in physical need? Do you see someone in spiritual need? Don't ignore that need. Help them out. Don't let them carry their burdens alone. Jesus shouldered our burden of sin to help us out, didn't he?
And so as we enjoy that care that Jesus gives to us, let's us carry one another burdens to help them out as well and show ourselves to be one of Jesus's disciples. Then we're instructed in verses 3-5, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. You know, it's an interesting thing that happens that when it comes to evaluating the health of our Christian faith or our Christian life, all too often, what do? We're tempted to compare ourselves to those other Christians that are around us. We look at how we're doing, and then we look at what other Christians are doing around us. And if we seem to be doing better than them, well, then we're happy, right? And we get kind of puffed up about ourselves and pretty good. If on the other hand, though, we compare ourselves to other Christians, and it looks like we're doing worse than those who are around us, well, then we get discouraged. And we're tempted to give up wrestling with our spiritual struggles. Either way, nothing good comes of that kind of lifestyle. So the Spirit directs us. When it comes to evaluating our faith and our life, instead of comparing ourselves to one another, what we really should be doing is testing our own actions against God's word. In other words, are the attitudes of my own heart in line with God's will or not? Are my actions right or wrong according to God's commandments? Is love for Jesus the motivation for all that I do? You see, that's the proper way to evaluate ourselves spiritually, and in that is help for us. So that our faith keeps running along well. Next, we're encouraged in Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. It says, anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Now, this verse is often used to help people realize that they owe their spiritual leaders or their pastor a fair wage or a living. And while that might be true, I'd like to say that this passage doesn't just deal with money, though. Personally, as your called pastor, whom you've called me to serve you, when I hear this word that it says, share all good things with your instructor, you know what I really appreciate you sharing with me? It's not just finances. But it's you sharing with me how Jesus is working in your life and hearing about the ways that your faith has grown. That actually means more to me than anything else, because as you share those things with me, like, you know, oh, Pastor, that sermon you preached 2 weeks ago really helped me. I might not even remember what I preached 2 weeks ago. But hearing the fact that it helped you lifts me up as your pastor. It makes me feel like those feeble efforts that I'm engaging in constantly preaching and teaching God's word to you is in fact being used by God to accomplish his plans and purposes. And that encourages me as your pastor to keep on working. The list ends here, at least with the verses we're going to be looking at, in verses 7 through 10. And it says, finally, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those
who belong to the family of believers.
Lest we fall into a spirit of complacency that starts to believe that as God's forgiven people in Christ, we can go ahead and just do anything we like or live any way we like. These verses remind us that if we turn again to wallow willingly in sin and sow the seeds of our sinful nature, we can easily destroy that renewed fellowship with God that Jesus died to bring us into. And if we ourselves destroy that, we lose that forgiveness for our sin that's needed to inherit eternal life. And so we are encouraged by the Spirit to not get weary, but with the Holy Spirit's help, to keep trying to do that which is right and good, and keep trying to follow God's will for our life as revealed to us in His Word. Not to get saved, because that doesn't save us, but to remain in that faith and salvation that Jesus has won for us. Now, that's just a little overview of this spiritual maintenance list, you might say, that the Spirit has given us. And there's a lot more that could have been said with regards to each item in this list. But even with this sort of cursory look, you can see that we've covered a lot of ground here. So much so that we might be led to feel kind of overwhelmed and exclaim, there's no way that we're going to successfully accomplish and do all of this stuff, even as a Christian, that the Holy Spirit's telling us to do. And you know what? You're right. Try as hard as we might to follow this spiritual maintenance list, we're never going to do it perfectly as we should, in some way or in some measure, maybe in multiple ways. We will always fail. So where does that leave us then? If these things are important to keep our spiritual life of faith in Jesus healthy and running well, does that mean there's no hope for us? And that our spiritual life is kind of doomed to go down the road of life clinking like a car or clanking like a car that's about ready to fall apart? Well, thankfully, the answer to that question is no. You see, when you have a hard time keeping up with the maintenance list for your car by yourself, what do? If you can't keep taking care of your car, we call in the pros, don't we? We call in the pros who have the proper knowledge and experience and time to do the maintenance work that's needed on our car to help the car keep running well. And they get the job done for us. In a sense, that's just what we do as Christians. When we realize that we're not able to carry out all of the spiritual maintenance items that are needed to keep our faith running smoothly, we call out too. We call it prayer, right? We call on the pro. We call on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who can and does do all things perfectly. We cry out to Him in heartfelt prayer. Jesus, what you call me to do is one of your redeemed people. That's all good stuff. I agree. That's what I should be doing in my life. It would truly help me and help others keep our faith running well. But Jesus, I can't do it. I keep trying, but I keep failing. So hear me, help me, and Jesus, come to my aid. And mercifully, that's just what Jesus does, isn't it? Even as Jesus died and rose again to save us, even as He sent the Holy Spirit to draw us to faith in Him so we might receive the benefits of His life-saving work that He did on the cross, so now as our living and merciful God that He is, Jesus comes to help us stay in our faith. And that's where we find our comfort and hope. Jesus comes to live in us as his people of faith. Just as he promises in John 14, Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. See, that's his way of saying, I'm not going to let you just go on your own. It's not just up to you to keep things running well. He says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Taking care of you, working on your faith, doing those maintenance items that need to be done to help keep you and hold on to you in the faith. And Jesus comes to put his life in us. As the Apostle Paul so joyously exclaimed there in Galatians 2, he says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. That's good to hear, right? But Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's Christ in us, working in us. And Jesus, too, comes to replace our sinful heart with his holy heart. He comes to replace our sinful words with his holy words. He dwells and lives in us to replace our sinful, rebellious actions in life with his perfect, obedient actions in life. In other words, Jesus comes to dwell within us to make us what he himself is and calls us to be. Just as we're assured in 2 Corinthians 3, it says, Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, what's happening? We are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. That's the Spirit of Christ at work in you. Not just in the past, dying to save you from your sins, but at work in you currently to hold on to you as his blood-bought child. What better words could we hear for ourselves today than those words as we go about living out our Christian life from week to week? Since the living Lord Jesus is at work in us, that means there's hope for us. Hope for us to go through life, not with a clunking faith that's about ready to fall apart, but to go through life with a well-running faith. And that's good news because when you know that Jesus continues to work in you as his blood-bought child, that motivates us, doesn't it? It motivates us to keep working ourselves, as verse 9 said, and not to become weary in the spiritual maintenance list that we've been given by the Spirit. For indeed, as we've been promised in Galatians 6, verse 9, at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we labor and do not give up. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, may the peace of knowing it's not just you at work to keep you in your faith, but Jesus at work through his Spirit that dwells in you, working to keep you in your faith, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen. Let's close our meditation as we lift up a prayer to the Lord for him to keep doing that ongoing maintenance work for our faith as we join in singing the offertory.
we receive now our offerings. Lord Jesus, we gather here today, hearing again your words leading us and directing us in our life, showing us not only what things we should be thinking about concerning our spiritual life, but what things we should be doing to maintain that life. As we hear these words, we recognize that if it was left up to us to keep ourselves in faith, none of us would make it, Lord. We would all fall and fail and drift away from you as our Lord, especially when we know that we're fighting up against an evil enemy, the devil and his demons, who are so much stronger than us. And yet, even though we fail, we have hope to remain in our faith, because the things that you call to do for us are exactly what you, as our Savior, through your Spirit, are seeking to do and accomplish in us. How wonderful it is to know that you not only bring us into your kingdom, but then your ongoing work is happening within us on a daily basis, second by second, literally, to keep us into that kingdom. And when we know that you are at work, there's hope for us. Hope for us to not just remain in our faith, but hope for us to remain strong in our faith and make it through all the days of our life until we gather with you in your kingdom. Thank you for your ongoing work. And as you continue to do that in us, help us to share that message with others who find themselves struggling in their own faith, reminding them of what you are as the Savior and what you do for your people to help us and to shepherd us as our Savior. As we come to you asking for your blessings and care, we are reminded that you are indeed the gentle, loving shepherd who is patient with us, not wanting any of us to perish, but all to come to repentance and have eternal life. And so believing you to be that kind of good shepherd who not only cares for us, but has the power to help us, we come to you now and pray as you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And to close our prayers, Lord, we want to offer a prayer of thanks, thanking you that you protected our youth and the chaperones who went down to our national youth gathering in New Orleans last week. I thank you for bringing them safely home and for protecting them while they are there. And more than that, though, I pray that their hearts and lives were touched as they heard your words of life and the Spirit work through them to help hold on to them in the faith, to help them grow in their faith and be motivated to use the gifts that you have blessed them with for service in your kingdom in the future to come. These things we pray, trusting in your name. Amen. Well, we get ready to go out now and live another week of life, trusting in Jesus as our Savior, living under his blood-bought forgiveness,
and seeking to follow the Spirit's guidance as he works to help keep us in our faith. And we go knowing again that it's not just us at work in the week to come, but Jesus, our Savior and Lord, for us. And so the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is with you all. Amen. We close then our worship with our final hymn in prayer.